Blog Talk Radio.
Chatting with Sherry is presented by the Writers and Illustrators of the Future, which has been providing a means for new and budding writers to have a chance for their creative efforts to be seen and acknowledged. Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today I'm really excited. We're going to have the cast of Mabel of the Anzacs Part 2. It's a very, very, very emotional show. Hi, guys. Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
Let me introduce you to the cast. Ariel Strauss is playing Zoe Lambros. Say hi,
hi guys.
Ariel. Raymond Brandt is playing Mr. Ross.
Yes, I'm here.
And Wendy Reichmeyer, is that the right way to say your
Richmeyer.
Last name, Wendy?
Richmeyer, with a C-H.
Richmeyer. Okay. And Wendy is playing, is playing Shirley Wiggins, Harriet Tibbins, and Dora Smith. And Janae.
Hi.
Janae is playing Eva Hallambros, and I am playing Mabel Andrews and Elena Mannheim. So it's going to be, oh, forgot our narrator, how stupid. And Sean Ritter is playing our narrator, who's a very, very important part of this cast because he knits us all together. Hi, Sean.
Hello.
So basically, let's just start by you guys telling a little bit about how you feel about who you are and how you feel about your characters.
Well, I will start since I don't have much dialogue in there. Mr. Ross is an Australian handyman, works in the garden, and has befriended Zoe and that's I like the guy. That's it. I'll turn it
really
over to somebody
nice.
Else now. He's a nice
He's
guy.
He's a very nice man. He cares about Zoe.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Who'd like to talk next?
Hey, I think I got dropped for just a hot second. Can you hear me?
Yes, I did, and I picked you up, and you're here. That's
Thank
Ariel.
You. Hey, that's me.
Since you're here, why don't you say hi to everybody?
Why, hello there. Glad I'm back.
Welcome back.
No,
why don't you tell us about Zoe this time around?
So Zoe this time around, let's see, she hates Mabel in the beginning because, remember last time, she destroys her art, so she's very, very bitter against her, but she does receive an invitation from Mabel to go and have a chat, go have some tea, try and resolve this matter. So we go in not really expecting too much change, and I guess we'll have to listen in so we can see how they resolve this, or if they resolve this.
Yeah, dun, dun, dun. it's actually really wonderful, immensely emotional plot line this time.
Yes, some deep stuff being hashed out.
I don't want to give up too much away, but what was built in part one kind of goes boom in part two. That's about as much as I can tell you. Is that accurate?
That's quite accurate.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Okay. Sean, you are our knitter together. What do you think?
I don't know. It's interesting for me because my character, well, the narrator, I guess, is I get to kind of sit back and just listen to all you guys do your thing, you know, and you all do it well. I guess just for me, I just try to, try to match, I guess, the tone of what you guys are doing. In a way, it's weird because I'm not, like, playing off of any of you, you know? Like, there's no actual back and forth between the narrator and any of the actors.
Right.
But try to make it lively, I guess.
You tie us all together.
Important, Sean. You give the audience the action.
Oh, sure, of course. It's fun. Like I said, I mean, it's interesting because I usually, as an actor, you're so in it, you know, you're not in your own head. But I, like I said, I get to sit back and actually listen to you guys as part of it, but also as audience, kind of.
That's cool. True. Actually, I never thought of that. I've been narrator. I never really thought of that.
Yeah, cool.
Fun fact, the first time we did a Mary D play, I was the narrator.
Yes, you were.
Nice.
Things change, Sean. You never know. Who knows what she's writing in the last part? you may have an incredible little emotional part in the next part.
I want to be a narrator like in Jane the Virgin. He's like the best narrator there is.
There's some narrators that are very emotional and very much a part of it. In our town, the character that is
stage
the
manager.
Narrator's part of the action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay, so next we will talk with, well, Eva. Janae, you want to talk about Eva this time?
All right. Eva, this time, she's, it's a smaller part this time. This is the first time I'm only interacting with Zoe in the play. All the other parts, I've had scenes with the other characters as well. So this one, I just have scenes just with Zoe. There's a little more fun in the playfulness in them, definitely in this one. Also, her insecurities. So there's a nice little range of emotions to go through in the scenes I do have.
Well, they're very intimate. And you're really helping Zoe through one of the most emotional periods and important periods of her life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you're her backup.
Her partner.
Yeah, well, you're her partner. But
in
you're
more ways
her.
Than one. In more ways than one.
Yep.
Hashtag relationship goals.
Yes. Click, click, click. Again, we don't want to give too much away. Okay. Wendy, why don't you tell about Mrs. Wiggins? Because the other parts are interesting, but Mrs. Wiggins is the most pivotal, important part.
Mrs. Wiggins is this sweet little lady that has herself gone through trauma and some sad times, and she helps Zoe kind of shed some light on things, helps her through a little dark spot into a little more understanding as to an issue that she and Mabel are having. I like Mrs. Wiggins. It's very unlike me. I'm very high strung and I have to go. And Mrs. Wiggins is kind of like, now Zoe, let's just sit and chat.
But it's an important part because she's really enlightening her about some of the things about Mabel that are.
Yeah, she really helps her look through what has her upset or what she's struggling with and gives her a little insider view as to why Mabel is the way she is. I like Mrs. Wiggins.
Oh, Earl's mom.
Yes. I like Mrs. Wiggins.
I love Mrs. Wiggins. She's adorable.
Yeah.
Okay, so Harriet Tibbins is actually Mabel's daughter. You're also playing her.
Yes. And I think she's actually very bright, and she, just the little bit that I have of her, which, you know, hopefully coming in another episode, she knows what it's all about. She knows, has seen her mother struggle, and she understands what's taken place.
That's true. She's really, from what I understand, Harry's going to be really important in the next segment. Also, your other character, Doris Smith, is very, very important. About Doris?
Yeah, I think Doris is going to be a very bold character in to come in the next story that she gets to be in. She's, I think, very forward, very front. And, of course, I think she's going to be one of those no holds barred.
Yeah, she's also kind of a rock. She's one of those people.
Very, very solid. Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think she could be fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She's very important. Well, first, Elena is a character I've played before. Elena is Zoe's best friend, and she's her sounding board, and she's her playmate, with the innocent kind of playmate, not the other kind of playmate is Diva.
Okay.
What am I putting it?
And Mabel is a very interesting character. I've never played a character quite as complex as Mabel. She's an older woman. She's in her 80s. She is exceedingly bright. She has a deep and incredibly rich background. She gets mad at Zoe because Zoe is kind of like, is a reflection of Mabel when she was young, and it just lights her fire. That's one of the reasons she gets so angry at her. And that's why it's painful, and that's why she and her are like yelling at each other.
That's so interesting. I never thought of it that way. That's so interesting. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why, well, I also read the book.
True.
Cheater.
I'm a way ahead. I already know who all these people are because I read. By the way, you guys, listen to these shows, buy the book. I mean, it goes past it because it's an entire book, and we're doing it in acts. But Mabel of the Anzacs by Mary D. Brooks. It is really an amazing book. It is beautifully written. It is emotional. It's to Mary's heart. You can see it. You can just see her heart all the way through it. It's just, if you've listened to part one, you know how good it is. So that's my little pitch for Mary. But it's from my heart. It's not just a pitch. I really was swept away by the book. And Ariel's reading it too, right?
I am, yeah. I've stopped in the book where we are in the play so that I don't know the rest of the story. I'm kind of living it as Zoe lives it right now. But after we finish doing this play, I'm going to finish the book and then have a background for the next one.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It's so hard because I want to talk about what's coming, but you can't because then the audience won't have any reason to listen on Sunday. But it's really good.
It's great so far, and the plays are very accurate to the book. Like, the dialogue is pretty much taken straight out of the book, so it's almost like you're getting an audiobook version, kind of. I mean, a lot of the narration is taken out, but a lot of the dialogue is left in, which
That's
is great.
Cool.
Yeah, well, it's hard to do, because the book is a lot of description and prose. So it's really hard. It's done it myself, it's really difficult to translate a book to a play form. And the people who have done it for Sherry's House, I'm so grateful because it's not an easy thing, and Mary's really good at it.
Well, I really like the story.
It is. It's really, really interesting.
I need to get the book and start reading. I love to read, so.
Yeah.
I really like the characters, too.
It's a pre-book to some of her other books, so read where it is so you don't get confused if you've read her other works in the series of Zoe and Eva. Because it happens before some of the stories we've already done, like Zoe's Promise and Witchy Night.
Right.
This happens before. It's a pre-story.
Prequel. Prequel to prequel.
Prequel, yeah. So this is the second part of the prequel of the other two plays from Mary that we've done. How's that? Is that good?
That's good. That's accurate.
Now, you guys have all been in other shows. How are you enjoying working on this one?
I always love working on Mary D. plays.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge for my part. I love accents, and I have to come up with an accent that is completely different from anything I've ever done before. And
you see,
so that's the challenge.
He's going for an Australian accent, and our author is Australian.
Not much pressure on me, yes.
No pressure, Ray. No pressure.
No pressure.
It's fun having to learn an accent for a role. Matter of fact, I got started with Sherry's Playhouse with Widgie Knight, so Ava's the first character I've played in Sherry's Playhouse. And Ava's accent is definitely one I had to actually look up and learn, because although I did realize that some of my friends in high school who were exchange students did have the German accent, so I'd heard it before, so that kind of makes it a little easy because I'm kind of recalling it, but it's not one of the ones that I've practiced nearly as much as some of the other accents I do, but it's a lot of fun. I like Ava.
You've done other accents. You did British.
Yeah. But it was the first one I did. This is the first one I did for you.
That's true.
I had to learn this one.
Yeah.
Witchy Nights was my first one with Sherry, too.
Yeah. You weren't in Witchy. What was your first one? Was it Joe Cronus?
Mine?
Zoe.
No, that was my second. Oh, sorry.
Ariel?
What's up?
I just asked, what was the first play for Sherry's Playhouse did you do? Was it Joe Cronus?
It was Zoe's Promise, and then Joe Cronus.
Okay. We all, except me. Everybody started, I think, on Ray started on Everett's play, John Doe.
Hashtag John Doe, yes.
So a majority of people started with Mary's plays.
Yes. Yep.
It's kind of funny because, Wendy, I actually played Mrs. Wiggins in Witchy Night.
Yes, I do remember. I started out that, well, I could try the way you were doing. I'm like, no, I just can't.
It actually hurt my throat. I don't blame you.
Yeah, I'm like, I just can't. I did. I really, really tried before that first read through, and I'm like, no, you didn't. I remember one rehearsal, you didn't have any voice left at the end. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the level of acting that you really have to be dedicated to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Losing your voice.
And let's just hope that I don't get my three voices all mixed up and cause chaos.
Well, luckily for me, Elaine is my own act, myself. So I can, not myself, but my own. So I don't have to, because I have to concentrate on Mabel. She's such a, like I said, she's a deep, complex, many-level character. She's an older woman, which I have to bring myself to. It's not easy.
But you do it well, Mary.
Do you guys think I'm doing okay? As Mabel?
You're doing okay. Doing good.
Yeah, doing okay. You're doing fine, Sherry.
Thank you. Oh, Mary would be here, but she is actually on vacation, so she's listening. Hi, Mary.
Right.
Here,
hello,
Mary.
Right, Mary. See you next week, Mary.
Yeah, she's on vacation, and I talked to her the other day, and she says, no, I can't. I won't be able to, but I'll listen. It'll be good.
No spoilers. No.
She didn't say
you
the be good
that.
Part. Yeah. No, she knows I would never do spoilers. The next thing I want to ask about is, okay, since we're doing a three-part play, how do you develop, we don't even know what the third part is. We have an idea because Mary told us.
Where the story is going, yeah.
Right. But how do you develop your character over three parts?
Well, the way it's written is pretty organic, like the changes that at least Zoe is going through. Like, it's easy to sort of go with the dialogue and notice what she's noticing and fixate what she's fixating on, and that sort of helps her grow or helps her growth, at least for me.
I think Mabel and Zoe are both going through something there because Mabel is also learning from Zoe as well as Zoe's learning from Mabel. It's mutual.
I'd agree with that. It's very obvious. As Ariel says, the script itself so far is lent to the character development. It's detailed enough and there's the changes are there. So I guess we just have to see how we're going to change more when we see the next script. In this case, we're playing it by ear, so to speak, based on what we see. So,
do you feel?
Agreed.
How do you feel about the development of the characters in the series so far? Anybody?
This is interesting because I'm going back. I'm literally going backwards because I played Eva all along. So it was interesting having to become the younger Eva after playing the older Eva. So it was a slight adjustment having to realize that this is not the same. She's not in the same place where she is in the other parts that I've played. So this was a becoming more of that young woman rather than the mature woman.
I like what's revealed about Zoe in this show that we're doing now. It's definitely what is not expected from the last show, from the last chapters.
Yeah, when I read that, it really kind of shocked me because it was like that is a undercurrent I knew she was strong and stuff like that, but what she's going to reveal is just, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, truly.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And she's so young. Zoe's so young.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Mabel's annoyed with her, is because as far as she's concerned, she's a kid. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
Exactly, yes. She does not know.
Kind of interesting for me, because Mabel is the first story where I'm playing Zoe. So because this is a prequel, it's like I'm playing Zoe's younger self, and all of the other plays that we've done have a different voice for Zoe. So it's kind of like the more mature Zoe in the later ones. And this is kind of like the young Zoe, the beginning, almost kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, honestly, I think you've done a wonderful job matching your Zoe to Tanya.
Oh,
honestly,
I've
had to play the bulk of my scenes were with in the other plays. I think you've really. It's like I was wondering how it was going to be playing opposite somebody else, but then once we started it. It didn't feel like I was playing opposite somebody. I mean, it still feels like Zoe.
That's really good to hear.
And I want to point out something that the audience does not know, but Ariel does. She was handpicked by Mary to play Zoe when the part reopened up. She was who Mary wanted. She first choice when it opened up again. So, and you're doing brilliantly.
Thank you.
That's fabulous. Yeah.
Now, we are coming to, we're doing the second part. We have a third part coming. Hopefully, I don't even know what characters are going to be in it. What she's going to keep, who's going to cut. But if everybody has their parts in it, will everybody want to do it again?
Oh, yeah.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I always ask.
I'm on board.
General consensus.
I always ask. I ask every play. So this is not. I ask on my own play, so this is not a surprising question. Okay. Now, one last question, because we're coming to the end. When you're working on these parts, do you do research into the period? Because it's totally different period. It's in the 1940s instead of the 1950s, which is totally different attitude, clothes, everything. Do you feel a difference in how you are projecting, especially Ariel and Janae, who played the characters, or at least heard the characters before. How do you see a difference in the era, in the way, the time period, the way they talk, not all the other stuff, and what's going on in the show?
A lot of what's with Ava and Zoe is already somewhat clandestine, that they can't be out there. So, and those are all, for the most part, very intimate or your private scenes anyway. That doesn't really, the public face, we don't see much. And even in the last part where Ava did speak with Mabel, it was still more about what was going on right then and there. So I haven't really seen much of the era because we're sticking pretty, literally sticking close to home. We're not really seeing much of the surrounding at this point in this one, or at least not in the scenes I'm in.
In the scenes you are intimate scenes, but I actually... as different, especially for the period. And Mabel, of course, is you get, like, from Mabel, you get all time periods. You get different time periods because she's so old and she's trying to get this kid to listen to her and stuff.
Her sensibilities are definitely more old-fashioned.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, she's in her 80s. I mean, my mom was in her 80s. She was still sometimes, you'd think she was back in the 60s the way she talked.
Interesting.
It's just the way you are when you're older. You go for when you are in your 20s and 30s as really a formative period in any person's life, because as you get older, it shows up when you're older. I mean, I don't know if Ray agrees with me, but that's how I feel. And I'm in my late 50s. Ray, do you agree?
Run that again. Sorry.
Your younger self has an influence on the how you act now as it at your age, when you were in your 20s and 30s.
Whether active
or whatever way.
What I learned when I was younger does have an effect on what I do today, but I'm not sure I understood the question. But
I'll explain for myself, and then maybe.
Okay.
When I look at stuff that's happening in the world today, I reach back to my own experiences, where my learning experiences in my 20s and 30s. To help me deal with some of the things that are happening in the world around me. It's a formative time. That's what I mean. Because that's what Zoe is going through right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. That what I did earlier and what worried me then, I won't let it affect me now.
But it's a learning. It's a strength
it is a
building.
Learning. Yes.
Because
it is a learning.
You need those. That's why what I use for Mabel, because she's much older than I am, is this, I use my parents, I use my grandparents, but I also use my younger self to see the difference between me now and me in my 20s, because it's such a pivotal part of what this play is about. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you, Ariel, did you, like, research the period?
I should have. I didn't do that kind of homework.
You did?
Maybe. No, I should really, though. It would be great maybe if, like, there were some World War One romance novels that I could read to just kind of get a sense of what Zoe's interested in, but also, you know, get my hands on some World War II resistance material. I think that would be great.
Yeah, there's loads of it,
mm-hmm.
really.
Yeah.
I know.
It really is. There's a lot. I'll send you some stuff later.
cool.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to close out. I want to thank you guys for being part of the play. I hope you enjoyed it so far. The play is going to be on Sunday at 8 p.m. Pacific. 10 p.m. Midwestern. What's the Midwest? What's Kansas? Come on, guys, help me.
Central
time.
10 Central.
And it would be 10. If we're up at 8 Pacific, it'll be 10 our time.
Okay. And then 11 o'clock on East Coast. If you're anywhere else in the world, I'm not going to give it to you because there are so many time zones that my head will explode. can look it up.
And we can't see it on radio.
You, no, I still don't want my head to explode.
Your head blowing up. You can't see you having a fit.
I still need it to play Mabel.
Yes.
Exactly. So don't try to think about it. The time.
So thank you, Sean. And
thank you.
Thank you. And Wendy.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Ray.
Thank
you. Janae. And Ariel.
Yeah. Thanks. No problem.
And I really appreciate you guys are wonderful. You're really wonderful in the parts, and I think Mary will be proud of us. I hope so.
Yay.
Okay. I hope so. Thank you.
And thank you for chatting, Mary.
Thank you.